Hello, I'm Adam, and welcome to Tales from the Potting Bench, a gardening podcast where you'll hear tales and stories from the most interesting and different people from the world of both indoor and outdoor gardening. We're nearly at the end of this whopping fifth season of the podcast, with new guests and brand new stories, and conversations with some people that you will definitely know, and some people that you'll come to know through these episodes. I'm really proud to say that this podcast is sponsored by the wonderful people at Plant Grow, producers of award-winning organic compost, mulch and fertiliser made with zero chemicals. It's all so great for your garden and even greater for the planet. And I know because it's all I use on my garden and in all my containers. Don't forget, if you use the code POTTINGBENCH on plantgrow.co.uk, you'll get 10% off your order. But before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to ask, if you listen to this podcast and enjoy it, then please consider rating and leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. It's really easy to do, takes a few minutes of your time, but helps this podcast get into the ears of more like-minded planty people. Go on, go and do it now before you listen to the rest of this episode. So, in the episode this week, I'm in conversation with a wonderful friend of mine, and without a doubt, the person that I know the best out of all of my previous guests. This is someone that I've spent a tremendous amount of time with this year, as we've drove up and down the country to and from almost every single garden show on offer. With all of that in mind, you'll be unsurprised that my guest this week is the social media guru and Instagram wizard, Tom Coleman. Tom knows everything there is to know about Instagram, but he's also a mean gardener too, and a dahlia expert to boot. This year has arguably been one of the best ever for Tom, as he started a new business, hosted his own podcast, and so much more. So, let's dive in. So, for anybody who is not familiar with you right now, who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Tom Coleman. I'm Tom Coleman on Instagram.
How did you come up with that Instagram name, Tom?
I always thought that I want to own my name.
I like that you're answering this seriously.
I am answering it seriously. It is my name, obviously, but it's I'm Tom Coleman, which I did, like I say, I wanted to own my name. And because at that point, when I started my Instagram, I knew it was going to be about gardening, but I didn't necessarily know what I was going to do and where it was going to go. So I thought, I'm just going to own my name. And if I become famous, for want of a better word,
like you are now,
as me, then I'm not going to be held to a name of any other description. Mm. But then that does mean that now I go, it's I'm, not I am, not Tom Coleman, it's I'm Tom Coleman. And it's when people say, what's your Instagram? And I go, I'm Tom Coleman. And they go, Tom
I know,
Coleman.
But what's your...
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, it is I'm Tom Coleman is what you have to type in. Anyway.
The good thing about that, though, as well, is if, heaven forbid, you suddenly decided to, I don't know, jack in the gardening.
And become a circus dancer.
Yeah, which I have seen your circus dancing moves. So that's entirely
then
a possibility.
Then, yeah, I can switch.
You could do that, couldn't you?
I can become famous whatever I want.
So you are Tom Coleman. We've established that.
I'm Tom Coleman. So for anyone who doesn't know.
What are you? What do you do? Who are you? If this is the first time that anyone is seeing or hearing the wonderful tones, I was going to say dulcet tones, but I think mine are slightly more dulcet. what are you? Who are you? And what do you do?
So that's a big question. What am I, apart from a massive
human
joker? I am a... First of all, I'd say I'm a gardener, like most of us and most of the people you have on the podcast, probably. I love horticulture, love gardening, and that's kind of where it all started and where I started doing my Instagram and everything else. But then more recently, I have started my own business doing freelance marketing and social media, particularly Instagram, and helping people with their Instagram accounts and reels and growing their business through social media and getting visible and helping people to show up, basically.
It's mad how much has changed in the last couple of years when you reflect on it and we kind of put it into a snapshot of what's happened in the last couple of years, because so much has happened over the last couple of years. And when I first met you, I'm doing the quotation marks for anyone that can't see, obviously, you were another person on Instagram. Like, not that what you were not that what you were doing was not snazzy, because it was, but you were like, this wasn't work as such. It was just you posting about your garden, really, at the time, wasn't it?
It's been a whole journey, and it's happened quite quickly, like you say.
Hasn't it,
Jess? Is that I started my Instagram to talk about gardening when I was lucky to have my first homes of my own, and gardens that came with that, started sharing what I was doing and talking about it, like, you know, like most of us and like most of the guests that you have on. And just wanted to share that and stop annoying my friends and family, like everyone, and just share some of that. And you know how it goes, the more you share, the more people love it and like your tips and join, you get part of the community and all of that. And then in my actual job, my corporate job at the time, was doing communications, marketing, that sort of thing for big businesses. So I worked for Sainsbury's, Holland Barrett, stuff like that, and loved it for years. And I thought that's what I was always going to do. And it was gardening that showed me a different side, basically. So I really got into the gardening in lockdown, like everyone.
Were you furloughed like everyone else?
No.
No.
I worked through doing communications. That's all you people who were furloughed or, you know, whatever. Actually, I was at Holland & Barrett at the time and we all stayed open as an essential retailer. So,
of course, yeah.
People in the office, there was a few, but not really many. But yeah, so we had a workforce that was out there and I was having to go out and still do stuff to keep everyone going. But I was at home a lot more, though. So I went from being most days in the office to being pretty much entirely at home for what we thought was going to be a few weeks. And then like 3 years later, we were finally allowed out. But we all had so much more time in our gardens and we were blessed with the most beautiful weather, weren't we?
I always say that. As long as you, and I always feel slightly bad saying this, but as long as you yourself were healthy and the people around you were healthy, there's a level of, if you were a gardener, it was kind of a great time.
It was.
In a way, and it does feel terrible saying
we
that.
We won't have that time back to solely
spend
so much time thinking about our gardens.
No, exactly. And I think that time that you would have had, if you were lucky enough to be at home, so I was just at home, we only had one daughter at the time, but there was me and my wife and my daughter. I was only furloughed for 6 weeks, but those 6 weeks, never going to get 6 weeks off straight again with your family. So, you know, providing everything around you was all right. It was great to be a gardener. Did that influence what you did in your garden? Did your garden change in that time? Or?
Yeah, because you just had so much more time and we love a garden project. So what better to do with your time than to make a pond, make a path, change a border? Everything in the space of a few years was getting changed. And especially then because Instagram was really growing, the community was growing because everyone was in the same boat. Then it was feeding that as well because people were loving to see what I was doing and what are you going to do next? What are you going to teach us next? You know, and all of that sort of thing. And I was learning from other people. People were learning from me. It was just that community went mad. So it only encouraged me to do more projects and more things in the garden. But again, like you say, we won't have that time back. So it was great to be able to do that. That's where I learned so much more about gardening practically. Just from doing it and trying stuff, really.
Were you already on Instagram at that point? Or did you?
Yes, you were, weren't you?
Because we said in your episode, anyone that hasn't listened to my episode of Tom's podcast, then I think you were. And if you scroll back far enough,
it's basically my own account that I've always had. So you can see old haircuts and stuff if you want to scroll back far enough. Please don't.
Please do.
But then I just started to talk about gardening more and more and more until it became basically about gardening. All the, you know, lockdown stuff was great and it really allowed me to really get into it, love the community and Instagram and all of that sort of stuff. And then as we came out of lockdown, the shows, obviously they've always been happening, but I'd never really been to them. And then as they came out with this new love of gardening, of course, I wanted to be at the shows and stuff. And throughout lockdown, I then built relationships with some of the horticulture businesses that we know and love, and that's where some of those relationships really started. And you know, they started saying, well, you do this kind of marketing and social media stuff, so maybe you could come and help us and do a bit of that, come to a show with us, film a little bit of it, put some of it on Instagram, help us, you know. That's it, just started real kind of small, like, can you do us a favor, can you do us a bit on the side? I loved it. loved going to the shows, loved getting involved in their businesses, and really started to love the impact I could make to a small business in most cases, and also in the industry that I love. And I started to be like, oh, I'm getting paid to do what I love and what I enjoy. And it just went from there, basically. The more I did, and thankfully it went well, and, you know, their accounts grew, or people loved what they were seeing on there, and people were loving my work that I was doing with them. It was all on the side of my full-time job at that point. But more and more people started asking me, can you do that for us? Can you come and do something for us? Would you consider helping us with our social media? And I was having to go, no, I really can't. I have a full-time job, and it's a really demanding job doing communications stuff in a corporate business. So I was like, it's stressful enough. And then I'm doing these other bits. Any days off, I'm going to shows and stuff. I was cramming it all in, but because I loved it. And I was really loving the experience of it all. Until I just got to the point where I thought, enough people are asking me, and actually, like I say, I'm enjoying it, and I could do what I enjoy and get paid. You know, could this be a career? And I had a few months when then I had to sort of think, could it? Could I actually earn enough money? Is it?
Because it starts as an idea, but then I think your brain then starts to say, no, actually, could this actually be a thing?
Yeah, exactly. And started to explore what other people do in this space, and do they make money, and how, and you know. But I just thought, after everything kind of over the last few years, I've really been learning more about myself anyway. And I've talked about that through my Instagram and my story and my journey, about kind of understanding who I am and everything. What I've really learned is what I want to do is what I enjoy every single day. And if that's plants and horticulture and gardening, if that's filming stuff and making content, because I love that and being creative, then if I can combine that and get paid for it, then I'm onto a winner here. So I started kind of, some of those people that I was saying no to actually saying, if I was to do this and you would want to work with me, what would that look like? And I basically got a few clients on board that basically were like, if you do it, we want to do it. And it was enough to say, right, I'm going to do it. And I was really lucky that my employer that I was with was like, we had a whole conversation, and they basically said that I could do a phased down exit. So that meant I didn't suddenly have to go, I've got to have enough clients and work to make it work straight away. I could ease my way and get one more client at a time until it was enough. Or so we thought. Until I kind of, as you do now, by this point, 3 or 4 years on into being on Instagram, shared that, this is what I was thinking of doing. I'm thinking of going freelance. Don't know if it's the right thing to do, but I'm going to do it, I think. And it went mad.
The response to that is like universally, yes, do this.
The response was amazing. Blew me away how supportive people were, how much people were like, this is literally made for you and what you should be doing. And straight away, people being like, if you're going to do it, we want to work with you. To the point where after 4 weeks, I think, of this phase down idea that I was going to do over about 6 months, I had to say, I think I just need to leave.
Quickly, yeah.
Because I think I'm going to have enough work straight away. And I haven't, at this point, even promoted myself, really, other than saying I'm going to do it on Instagram.
Yeah.
I haven't, you know, actively looked for anything. So then it just happened, basically. I've been really lucky that people have believed in me and what I do and been really supportive. And still to this point, it's now my business. So I left my corporate job back in August officially. And I'm now 2-3 months in.
Has it been that long already? It feels like two seconds ago that you were talking about like your last days coming up and whatever. God, I can't believe
it. And I feel really blessed that I still to this day haven't really like promoted. I have never like reached out to someone and say, do you want someone to help you? People have reached out to me, can you come in and work with us? And that's a really nice position to be in. I feel really lucky to be in that situation and getting to do what I love every day. And I'm not saying it's a breeze and every day is the best day of my life, and I've shared that on Instagram as well. And I've always tried to be open and honest and share the reality on Instagram, but just shared the ups and downs, and people have loved it. There's a lot of people that always think I want to run my own business or I'd love to do what I enjoy. And the amount of people saying thanks for sharing the ups and downs and the bits that you didn't expect, because other people who are thinking they might want to do it are learning from that and, you know, understanding a bit more about what happens behind the scenes and stuff. So, yeah, but in general, absolutely loving it. Loving what I do and loving the benefit that I can add, basically.
I think it all makes so much sense for people that don't necessarily know about your, as I say, past, as though you've got like a checkered past, but I mean, you have,
my
but
dodgy
not
history.
In this conversation. But I think when people know that you've done kind of communication roles in particular in the past, that all makes so much sense in terms of the way that you are creative and the way that you're able to be creative and the way that you are because of those previous roles, which I think is really, it's amazing that you've then been able to use those skills that you've kind of gathered from those roles to do something that's totally you know?
Yeah, you're right, because I've spent years doing them for other businesses and I've learnt so much along the way. You know, I couldn't do what I'm doing now if I hadn't done what I've done. So, and I've loved the big businesses that I've worked for. And to be honest, I thought I would always stay in them. And I, you know, I could go back into one now. And I do love that environment. But I've learned so much from doing all of that, that, yeah, I think it has meant that now I can do that in a way for myself or for other small businesses. And that's what I think when I, you know, I work with small businesses, particularly in horticulture, is that they haven't had that experience of working as a big business and all that comes with that and all those learnings and lessons that you get over those years. So that's the benefit that I can now add to a small business. And sometimes I just come out with something and they're all looking at me like I've just spoken like the most incredible words. And I'm like, oh, I just forget, because, you know, for years that's just been normal to me that you'd ask that question or whatever. And they're like, wow, I've never even thought about that. So I think that's the bit now where I'm using what I've learned over the years in those big businesses to help small businesses to think about some of that stuff.
So we're kind of talking about this in presuming in a way that people know what we're talking about is that you do exactly. So for anyone that is listening that's either got a small business or would like to understand what you do more, how would you kind of describe what it is that you actually do? I make it sound as though you do nothing.
This is the hardest question ever, I think. It is. I'm still getting used to how I describe what I do, and it probably changes depending who I speak to. But essentially, in whatever way, just helping you get your business to be more visible, more seen, and probably if you're a business, more sales ultimately. But whatever your kind of business goal is in that sense, whether you want just a bigger profile, more brand awareness or more sales, to help you do that with the power of social media in particular being kind of my specialty after all these years on Instagram and things that I've learned through my other jobs, but also in wider marketing. So it could be anything from some people I work with and I, you know, have clients where I manage their accounts. I make reels, I make content, and I reply to all their messages. You know, I manage their accounts in full. Others, I just help them make reels, stuff like that. Others, you know, it can be anything from some people will just message me and say, can you do a bit of an audit on my account and have a look and just give me some pointers? And so it could be from that kind of level all the way through. I do one-to-one days with people and just literally spend a day getting into their strategy on social media and what I think they should be doing to kind of boost that and be going in the right direction. I've got a business membership that I do with Roz Chandler, who's just an incredible woman when it comes to business and marketing. Yeah, Fieldgate Flowers on Instagram. She was a marketing director and has a marketing background as well. So we kind of, when we got our heads together, was like, right, there's, you know, she was already thinking, how do I add value to some of the small businesses that she works with? And again, she's in the horticulture industry, so it really fits. So we now basically combined our marketing experience and we cover all levels of marketing in that, whether that's social media, and I do tutorials in there to show people how to make reels and stuff like that, all the way through to emails, SEO, websites, branding. We've got a lady talking about imposter syndrome this week, all different levels of just being a business owner and getting more visible and reaching your audience and ultimately driving those sales. So that's a membership that we do. It's $19.99 a month, and you just join and be part of the community. You can watch all the tutorials, get involved, and there's, you know, loads of benefits to that. And I do workshops and all sorts of things. So basically, a long way of saying loads of different ways, but just essentially working with small businesses to help them get more visible and more seen through marketing and social media.
I think this is the thing about social media, is that as perhaps, I don't know whether we can say that. I was going to say that we're being the social media generation, but I don't think we are. I think we're slightly too old now to say that. Not that, not to be on social media, but I think there's a younger generation.
A younger wave coming behind us.
We are not the youngest of those waves by any means. But there definitely will be small businesses and even big businesses that still don't get the benefits of social media. I know this seems like a really obvious thing to say, but there will still be people that don't get it. What's the point? Why? I know that seems obvious for me to say that, but what is the point of a small business that's not on Instagram, that's not on TikTok, that's not on all of these different things? Why should they be if they're not? What's the point?
I mean, it's one of the
biggest questions of the time.
I have a whole like section on this when I do a workshop. But one of the biggest facts that doesn't blow my mind, because I am one of these people, but 76% of people will look
up. He's got the stats.
They'll look up a business, but even if they've seen something else. So they might have seen you at a market store where you sell your candles, for example, or they might have seen your newspaper ad about your distillery or whatever it is. But 76% of people won't just go, oh great, I've seen an advert in the local paper, I'll buy that. They'll look you up on Instagram, and it's mostly Instagram, or they'll go, or social media in general, because nowadays on social media, you know, a flyer or a poster or whatever can only tell you so much. You've got a snapshot. But if you go on their social media, if they've got a great page, you can see all about their story, their ethics, their brand, their values. And you know straight away, probably within a few seconds, whether you think this is a good brand that you want to buy from or interact with or not. You might start to see the owners or the people who work in the business and get a real feel for them and hear more about the story of how the business has grown and all that sort of stuff. Basically answer all their questions about the product before they've even seen it. People will look you up on social media. So if you don't have a presence on social media, then that's 76% of people who look you up. And then essentially, what do they see? If they see a blank profile, they're like, oh, these people haven't really, you know, they're not really on it. But, you know, and you can't find anything out, and you're going to just get, oh, okay, never mind. Whereas actually, if you've got a great social media presence, you're going to hook them in. And I really talk about turning followers into fans as well, just on Instagram in general, whatever type of account you have, because everyone talks about followers, and obviously the more followers you have, then great. But the biggest thing for me is having not just followers, but turning them into fans who actually engage and really believe in your business and your story, whether that's me on my personal Instagram and they follow my story and my journey and the ups and downs, and they really are behind me and want to believe in me. And if that's a business, that they're really bought into what you do and what you stand for. And that means that when you give them a link to buy something, they're a lot more likely to do that because they've got a relationship with you in some way, or they believe in you a bit more, and they're more likely to part with their money in that case than if you were just going cold at them to followers. You know, big number of followers doesn't necessarily mean bigger sales or bigger business if you don't keep them engaged in the right way. So that's probably a longer answer than you wanted.
It's a big snapshot.
And I could go on for like a whole day about why to be on social media, basically. But
it's been so, I mean, I'm going to say this as your friend, but it's been so amazing to see that kind of, not as a hobby, I suppose it kind of, you know, was your obviously your career, but something that you then started to take into.
It all started on the side.
Exactly, that's it. But now it's like literally your, not your life, that makes it. Like,
so it is my life. But,
no, I know it is. I'm just trying to be kind. But it is now kind of like a large part of your life.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible to have seen. And you are right. You've shown like proper kind of like your Instagram is warts and all, like really.
Yeah.
And it's like the ups, the downs, that, you know, you can go from one day to seeing you seemingly frequently breaking down in your car or getting a flat tire.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the next day is like an elated like version of Tom where there's been something incredible that's happened. And that kind of speaks for itself in terms of how we all, I say should, show up on social media, but that's kind of the idea behind a small business on social media, is that you're showing you, the person behind the brand, behind the everything about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a massive believer that you are the biggest part of your business and the difference. There's hundreds of flower farmers out there, for example, but the reason that they choose to follow Roz is because of her and how she is and the tips she gives and the funny banter that she has, and, you know, whatever it is, you are the person that makes you different from the person down the road that could offer exactly the same thing at exactly the same price, but they'll choose you over them or them over you because they connect with the person or the business or the values. So I think that's where showing up and being real on social media is really important. And it doesn't mean that you have to show everything and every moment of your life and, you know, all of that, but it's just picking and choosing those moments to be real and relatable to people and show the realistic bits of it as well, and not just a perfect social media world.
Yep.
Because actually that doesn't actually engage people.
No.
You know, it does to a degree, but that's not what makes them really, you know, believe in you as a person. And
I feel like we've kind of not entered a new age of social media, because it's not been new by any means, but I think there's an element of, in the past, it's all been about very kind of pretty aesthetics, everything being beautiful and perfect and whatever. And I think we've all gone through that, and we all appreciate that Instagram in particular has been this place where everything is perfect and it's kind of that ideal Instagrammable world. But I kind of feel as though we've perhaps come through that now, and people are being real and honest and 100%. Kind of themselves and stuff like that. And that's definitely something that you're kind of part of.
I think people started to get a little bit sick and tired of the perfect Instagram life. And to a degree, people want that. People want the escapism after a busy day in their lives and look at Instagram and, oh, there's beautiful shots and it takes me away and lovely music. But interspersing that with realness shows that, yes, you do have these lovely moments and beautiful stuff, like me going on doing my podcast or meeting amazing guests or seeing amazing gardens, and I can show people that and make them go, wow, that was great. Also then the next day me going, oh my God, I'm so tired after all the work that goes into that. And, you know, just adding the realness in means that then as well, they're more likely to love the next thing that you do even more. And, you know, people, I think, just got tired of seeing everything being beautiful. And then as well, when people start to see that sometimes the realities aren't that, then it can then start to feel a bit fake, can't it? And that all this loveliness isn't reality, and people start to compare themselves and all that sort of thing. So that's where I always just think, if you can, so there's beautiful stuff and we share that and that inspires people, but there's also a real part of that as well and a real world to it. And I think people have really started to connect with that, and it has become a bit of a movement that people want to see.
Definitely.
The real stuff.
I think also when you're honest, and it's not about being, I think when we all say about being honest, I think there's a presumption there, or there's kind of a presumption that means that it's a negative thing, and I don't think it is. I mean, intrinsically, if you are being honest all the time, there will be more negativity. There just will, because that's just the way the cookie crumbles, isn't it? That's the way the world is. But I think what that also does is it kind of builds up those really, really positive moments to be even more positive in a way. I think when you're showing the slugs in your garden, you're showing the, I'm saying this looking in my own garden, but the piles of cat poo and whatever, it just means that when you have got a gorgeous dahlia to show off, that's all the more gorgeous because it's like the jewel in the cat turd crown. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, we joke about my car breaking down and that sort of stuff, and I've shared that because that's the reality and it's been an absolute nightmare. But it also means that then when I share myself going and doing some of the lovely stuff, then people like you say, it's even more beautiful. It becomes even more powerful because people see the reality and that stuff.
Definitely. Well, we talk about all the people seeing all of your stuff and hearing all of your stuff. So we need to talk about the podcast, obviously. Yeah. This has kind of come as a semi as a, like a natural progression of some things that you've done, and just wanting to, I don't know, share some of the relationships that you've got with people. Tell people about the podcast. So anyone that hasn't heard of it, tell us what it's called, tell us what it's about. Give us like the elevator pitch of your podcast. Gosh.
Well, you've already given me a practice of this earlier and it wasn't great, was it?
Wasn't successful.
So it's called the Sip and Sew podcast. If you haven't listened, you can find it on all the podcasting platforms. And basically, the idea started because I was having conversations, and like we know, we're very lucky to sometimes have conversations with garden designers or essentially gardening celebrities at shows and things that we're very lucky to do as part of our work. But it's the conversations behind the scenes when we sit over a cup of tea behind a show chatting. That's almost what I was like, if people could hear this. You know, I've had conversations and I wish we'd recorded that because people would have loved hearing that, because it was just the detail into how they create something or their mindset and that sort of thing. So I thought, I just want to bring that to life. And I wanted it to be different. So I go out to the locations and I sit down in person and chat to them. It's all recorded for the podcast and also filmed on YouTube. And we just basically have a chat. It's unscripted, and wherever the conversation goes, it goes, which has led to some hilarious moments, some real moments, you know. And the whole idea was to just leave people feeling really inspired and motivated. And the biggest bit of feedback is that every episode has brought something different, a different perspective on gardening, on horticulture.
Somebody's screaming in the background.
Someone doesn't leave that like in. My podcast.
Talking about real. It's a snapshot of where I live.
So yeah, people have just loved the different perspectives on gardening and horticulture, and the people and the guests, because it's allowed them to show a warmer, more natural side to them as well.
I think it's genuinely been great. So for anyone that hasn't listened to it, please do seek it out. It's on every podcast platform available, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sip and Sew.
And we've just finished season one and ended it with Adam.
So oh, good Lord, you saved the worst till last.
You can listen to Adam's podcast and hear more about Adam, and the tables will be turned on that. And you can listen to all of the rest of the season.
All of my season? Or
no,
your
all
season?
Of my season.
Both seasons, please.
Yes.
No, please do go and find it. I think the other thing about your... Oh, no, go. No, Tom, no, I couldn't possibly...
Turning the tables back, I'm just asking you a question now. But one of the things that was commonly kind of bounded around when I started doing my podcast was, is there like some rivalry between us?
Yes, we actually hate each other.
Yeah. My podcast way better.
charts will tell you.
But there's not, is there? Like,
no, not at all.
We both shared each other's podcasts and episodes. We both cheer each other on. We both listen to each other's at the second they come out. And we both constantly message and WhatsApp and chat about them, don't we? And you've given me tips and stuff, and we're constantly sharing. And we have a bit of banter, and we've loved being kind of in the charts next to each other.
But that's the thing, is that that's one of the first things that we said, that when we knew you were doing it, I said to you that I can't wait until we're in the charts next to each other. I'm not bothered about who's on the top or whatever, but it was just nice. I think it's only happened once, but it's been nice to be able to share that. And I think there is this kind of assumption, isn't there, that, you know, if someone's got a new podcast or a new book or a new whatever, that it's a competition, and it's not, because you don't win no. podcasts. There isn't like
and like a, we were talking about earlier about the gardening community in general on social media, on Instagram, and just in the world, we all want to support each other and help each other and lift each other up. So actually, we don't really, it's not about who has the most listeners or who sells the most stuff or whatever. We all actually just want each other to do well. And that's what, you know, especially as two friends, we want each other's podcasts to do well. And we don't care if you're number one and I'm number 50. Like,
I think when we become enemies, it'll be different. It's not going to happen. I hope not, anyway.
We'll replay this in a few years' time.
When we're old and grey, we'll look back and think, oh, we were in competition. That was my impression of me as an old man. I do love the podcast, though, Tom. I think it's great. And I hope it comes back for a season two. Do we know if it's going to? You want it to?
I don't. Yeah, I want it to. I need to just think about how it's going to work and if the sponsors want
your
to do another one,
can
or
take
if,
it.
If my brain can take it with all the other stuff that I'm doing, and if people want it to come back for a season two. So I'll have to ask the question on Instagram and see if people want it to come back.
I think
I guess
people will, Tom.
Let's hope so.
Only the people with no taste are going to say no.
Oh, wow.
One of the finest gardening podcasts. One of the finest gardening podcasts around. One of. Anyway, thank you for coming to join me, Tom. I hope that hasn't been too harrowing.
No, that's, I think I've you got sure? away lightly.
Well. Oh, God. Now has come. It's come. This has become like a strapline. I never intended for me to say this thing in every episode, but I do. It's come to the time in the podcast where I've got three of the single most difficult questions for you. Are you ready?
No.
Well, unfortunately, this is what you signed up to when you agreed to do the podcast.
Fine.
Question number one, and I don't know how you're going to answer this, actually. If you were to start your garden again from scratch, where would you start and why?
With a garden.
With a garden.
So one of the things that people might not know if you don't know me is that I talked about the fact that I used to have gardens and transformed them in lockdown and stuff. And then recently I moved in with my partner who we live in a flat now in Leicester on the outskirts of the city. And basically we have a car park. And I have already started taking over the car park inch by inch with some pots and a planter that I stole from you at a show. And now I'm taking this table that we're sat at home in the back of the car. And I will basically eventually take over the car park.
I'm just taking bits of
plants.
My garden at the time.
But, I don't really have a garden to start again. But I am loving the playfulness of pots. You can move them around and do them up. And I've just been saying to you, I need to sort out the salvias that are in the pots for next year. I love pots because you can start again every year. So actually, I'll have the opportunity to kind of keep starting again and keep growing the amount of pots I have to.
That's a sneaky workaround for that question, isn't it? Okay. This one you can't avoid, unfortunately. Okay. What is your favourite scent in the garden and why?
So I've thought about this because I know that you've been asking everyone this throughout the season. And my favourite scent is the earth, the ground.
Oh, I think that's the first time that's been said.
Oh, phew.
the smell of the earth.
Because.
Not the planet.
I'll tell you why. Because of not having a garden, necessarily, I used to love every evening, once I'd finished work, it was my switch off to go out into the garden and just get my hands dirty. Whether that was in the garden, in the greenhouse, potting something up. And now I really miss it. And I'm lucky, doing the job that I do in the horticulture industry, is that I still spend all of my time in muddy fields and flower farms and getting my hands on flowers and plants. And I love that. And I love it even more now because I can't take it for granted not having a garden and just having a few pots. So just that is my favourite smell. There's nothing like it. It just makes me feel like I'm home and it switches my mind off just that it's, you know, soil between your hands.
Oh, lovely. What a good answer. You really have thought about that, haven't you?
I have.
Okay. And the final question. Why does gardening bring you such joy?
Gosh.
One of life's tough questions.
I think it's become part of me, which I didn't really know. You kind of talked about how my journey's evolved and how it's happening all quite quickly as well. I've always loved gardening from when I was younger. I inherited it from my grandparents especially, who were really into it. I've always loved it. And then when I got my own homes, you know, I've really got into it and then found the gardening community. And that's led now onto a career, but also being able to work now every day with people in the horticulture industry in loads of different ways, whether I'm just a small touch point or I'm a client, you know, they're a client. And I love being part of this industry. So it's now not just a hobby, something that I enjoy or something to switch off after a busy day. It's still that. I still will get my hands dirty whenever I can, even inside the flat with house plants everywhere. But it's essentially everything that I do. Like you joked about it being my life now, but it really is, whether that's to de-stress and my own time or whether it's actually work now. It's in that industry and with, you know, surrounded by plants. Wherever I turn now, I'm surrounded by plants basically. So I couldn't be without it really.
If you'd like to find out more from Tom, then you can follow him on Instagram, where you'll find him as I'm Tom Coleman. You can also listen to Tom's podcast on all major podcast apps and websites by searching for Sip and Sew. Join me again next week, where I'll be in conversation with another fantastic planty guest, as we very quickly near the end of this current season, with just two more episodes left. Until then, you can follow me on Instagram at View From The Potting Bench to see what I'm up to in my garden, visit viewfromthepottingbench.com to read my blog, and also you can see my column in the new Amateur Gardening magazine. See you again next week.